You may proceed. Thank you.
Okay. So I believe,
have a little recap when the recording now has started of who's on the call.
Right. That's just where I was going to start. I believe we have Carl Chaban and Carrie Karp online, and also myself, Edmund. From the staff side,
Tina Dam is here, and I'm here, Olaf Nordling, and we've got Marilyn Lernon taking care of, standing in for Glenn on this call.
Cool. We don't have a lot of people, but I guess we'll get it started. As mentioned, maybe a lot of bit of a hangover from Delhi, but this particular subject is of a little bit of urgency. The IDNC, which is a fast track IDNC CTLD group, is sort of forging ahead with their schedule, and we'd like to provide a response to the initial report that was put out a few weeks ago by February 26th, which is their deadline, and that is actually next Tuesday, I believe. Let me see. Yes, about basically a week from now. I did send out a draft earlier over the weekend with some of the a response to the initial report, which was a set of questions. Most in terms of the body of the document, most of the stuff is really cut and paste from previous documents, mainly from the GNSO IDN working group, which was convened during the new GTLD discussion. And the other one, other main document that I pulled from was the GNSO response to the CCNSO and GAC issues paper on IDN CCTLDs. I don't know if people have had the chance to take a look at it. I understand that some people didn't get the attachment. I had a little bit of a technical problem with my Outlook earlier. I did resend it and also have posted it just now onto Google Docs. So in case you have not gotten it or seen it, you should be able to, I hope you should be able to by now. So I guess, Charles, Carrie, have you had a chance to take a look at the draft?
I'm one of the ones who wasn't able to open the attachment. Tina sent me a clean copy just a little while ago, but I haven't had a chance to take a closer look at it.
Okay.
I had the chance to read just what you sent over the weekend, the response.
Okay. So perhaps we can start with any general comment on whether I'm, you know, down the right path or completely sort of out of whack, and go from there. So, Charles, do you have any initial thoughts on it?
I have one more, the page, the page before the last one. About that, the IDN CCTLD manager needs to demonstrate experience with running IDNS in the particular script. Your recommended response is that yes, but when we look at CCTLDs, I think none of them did run before, or maybe not none. Very few of them did run, did have the chance to try another script than the ASCII. So I think this could be a problem for most of the CCTLDs, or you want to concentrate more on the GTLDs here?
I guess I'm open. I guess the reason why I said yes is the setup of the fast track was the idea is to have it as non-contentious as possible. And if the CCTLD manager has some technical experience with IDN, it would reduce the contentious nature of the whole process. That was the intent. We can definitely, you know, if everybody thought that this is not necessarily a requirement, I guess I'm more than happy to make the change.
There's one whopping.
Sorry, Kerry. I didn't want to make a full change. Maybe, but to have something like just what you said now, to have a technical experience, maybe, but maybe not practical, which means I don't know how to put it in to be very good understood, which is he should know about technical problems in different scripts and IDNs in general, but not necessarily to have run it before, because I don't think you will find a lot of CCLDs who try to run DNS with IDN.
Okay.
There's one very important overriding issue that this all sorts of that this gets towards, and that's any sort of requirement in the fast track that makes it impossible for a new player to come into consideration. Take some territory that is indeed included on the ISO 3166 list, but doesn't currently operate a CCTLD. Are they going to be barred from participation? Are we going to raise the threshold higher than that and place some sort of a demand on a pre-existing CCTLD registry in order to be a participant in this? So if we're setting up any sort of technical requirement or eligibility criteria here, we're going to have to be really, really careful so that we don't end up looking at anti-competitive legal action. That's one of the things I think is an underlying flaw with this entire fast-track idea, that it just is so favoring those who get to write the rules to the rule writer's own advantage and freezing everybody else out. But I don't really see how we can get away with it. But okay, I mean, if it can be gotten away with. However, now that the GNSO is chiming into this process, I think we have to be doubly sure that the notions of barring new participants in the top-level namespace don't end up really causing us grief.
Mm-hmm. So if I hear you correctly, there are actually two sides of the things I think. We want to support, well, as a GNSO, I think we generally feel that we want to support the fast track, and the I guess the overarching concept of which to be non-contentious, and by saying that, there are a number of overarching technical requirements, but at the same time, if I heard you correctly, we should make sure that even though with the technical and techno-policy requirements, we don't want to set it too far, too far biased towards existing incumbents, if you will.
What I'm suggesting is that if we're going to be articulating terms of reference that do include eligibility requirements, threshold requirements, we have to be absolutely certain that those requirements are stated in a manner that can't be in any way, render us in any way liable to accusations of keeping a closed market even closeder. So I'm not commenting on what might be reasonable requirements at this point. I'm cautioning that we have to put any requirements that we do articulate forward in a manner that is very sensitive to issues that have absolutely nothing to do with the internationalization of the namespace. They just have to do with the development of a competitive domain name market, which is what ICANN is supposed to be doing. ICANN isn't supposed to be keeping the thing closed. It's supposed to be opening it up.
Okay.
So, again, no comment whatsoever on what is reasonable in technical terms or security terms or operational terms, but just a general expression of concern about the fact that we have to be really careful the way we word this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a pretty good conversation. Actually, I started this whole conversation with a relatively loose structure because I wanted to see if there are a few things that were, you know, in the top of my mind, and this seems to be a fairly interesting discussion. If others don't mind, I want to, you know, dig deeper into this particular, you know, before going through a more structured approach through the document. And basically the question is, Carrie, I quite agree to your points. In the specific question of whether an IDN CCTLD manager in the fast track should have some technical experience with IDN, how do you see that, and you know, what types of requirements are, you know, should there be any in that regard?
Well, I mean, very obviously, for anybody to operate a registry, that is going to be including massive numbers of XN-dash-dash labels. They need to understand the process of creating those labels, the interconversion between display form and stored form. And all of the issues that are currently under discussion in the context of the protocol revision, which is something that I also think is an overriding concern here. I mean, that's a discussion that is still opening up. And until we know exactly what new elements are going to be available to the delight of some language communities that are not comfortable with the current protocol thing, and the elements that are likely to disappear to the dismay of people whose only interest in this is making money, this isn't a stable process yet. IDNA is still being developed. IDN is suffering from growing pains, and that annoys us tremendously for very good reason, and it generates all sorts of impatience on the part of the community. But these are the things that have to be understood if anybody is going to end up operating an IDN-based registry, on any level, in fact. And I'm sure these things can be articulated with some degree of objectivity without in any way courting the kind of difficulty that I first expressed concern about.
So you
have to understand the product that you're selling in order to be able to sell it successfully, I would have thought. But on the other hand, I'm not really a businessman, so that may be a very naive notion.
that's probably an interesting notion, although that's not often the case, actually. In any case, so in terms of answering specifically your question, though, it seems like we do want to indicate that knowledge about the IDN technologies and registry technologies pertaining management of IDN registrations should be some sort of requirement, whether it is, you know, at what scale, at what, you know, at specifics we might not want to get into. Does that address some of the items that you mentioned?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Cool. What about the... Go ahead, Charles.
No, I just said I agree with you too.
Cool. There is also a... specific question that asks, does the IDN CCTLD manager need to demonstrate a track record of managing a TLD? So if I sort of got the response correctly, this is where we really should say somewhat to the effect no, however point back to that there should be knowledge and understanding of operating a registry, especially a registry with IDN.
I agree with you, Edmond, on this, but let me say what happened on the mailing list of the IDNC. I think you saw it. When
right.
I raised this point, one of the replies was mainly they are talking about the fast track, that they wanted to keep it somehow or somebody. Some are preferring to keep it for the fast track with already available CCTLD managers. But I agree with you and Carrie that we should be careful on this, even in the fast track. Maybe what you just said is better to put in the reply for me.
Okay. So, you know, I guess that's a, you know, I think that's a good position for GNSO to take. In fact, as Carrie has mentioned, in terms of competition and in terms of, you know, this just sort of, I would say, quote unquote, liability issues there. And, you know, but having said that, there is, you know, the concern of this being the fast track and being a process whereby supposedly there should be least amount of sort of problems arising from it, at least conceptually, that was the intent. So in terms of technical know-how and especially technical knowledge of IDNs and IDN registration would definitely be important. Cool. So this seems to be one that jumped out. Charles, did you have any other part that sort of jumped out to as an area that you wanted to highlight?
No, thanks, Edmond. This was the only point that really maybe I had some doubts about, but others, I think I agree with what you wrote in general.
Cool. In that case, actually, there's another item that I forgot to mention. I had hoped to run the meeting for about an hour, and if not, a little bit over. I think we're having good progress here because we don't really have a lot of people here. But in any case, what I would like to do perhaps is to run through, sort of walk through the draft and, you know, I guess section by section and see what suggestions and input everyone has. Actually, before I do that, Olaf or Tina, did you have a chance to take a look at the original draft, and did anything jump out at you, specifically you wanted to highlight?
From my side, yes, I had looked it through, and I've seen a few bits and pieces, but that's more on a detailed level. How about you,
okay.
Tina?
I only had a chance to, like, skim over it. I think I'm in general, I got a little bit confused about the overall approach, and, you know, some of it can sort of, like, come out as the GNSO is telling how IDN CCTLD should be done, but on the other hand, I assume that this was a generally agreed approach that the GNSO was going to provide this response, right?
Well, that's an interesting observation. I think the document itself, I started off doing the draft by stitching together, really, as you will find, stitching together statements that we have, drafted previously in previous documents, and adding a bit on each of the questions, and then after which I sort of created the initial section, because I found myself repeating quite a number of things, and that sort of generated the first part of the response. I don't necessarily think we want to, put ourselves in a position where we're saying this is how we think IDNC CCLD should be done, and I think that's a really good feedback. I'll take a look at how to address that overall impression and issue, but I think the response was really drafted on specific questions. So there was a question posed, and I tried to stitch together some responses previously, and obviously, as I mentioned in my email, somewhat liberally added, my thoughts to it, and was hoping to open it for comments from others. So Yeah, I guess thanks for the feedback. And I think that's definitely one thing I'd like to address when I try to after this meeting and try to make some edits to it based on some of the discussions.
I've got one sort of overall comment, and that's perhaps that it's not immediately apparent how you stitched together the quotes from the IDNC initial report and the comments. I mean, I think we should say, for example, Gina, so comment on section, if that's what we mean, or otherwise it could be, it at least puzzled me a little bit in the very beginning, because we say later on Gina, so response. And I think we should be very clear that Gina, so comment on question, if that's Gina, so comment. So it's not something in between. And I take it that all the boxes are straight from the IDNC initial report.
Right. The boxes are basically the language from the report and then the comments. Yes, I think that's a good...
It comes clear eventually, but it's not sort of obvious from the outset.
Okay. Cool. So, I guess I'll just quickly go through the first section, which I tried to summarize a number of points that seems to be recurring throughout when I try to compile the responses for each particular question. So it's sort of I put into six particular points in the beginning. First point, really trying to emphasize the charter itself of the IDNC for it to be to sort of enable the introduction in a timely manner and in a manner that ensures the continued security and stability of the Internet of a limited number of non-contentious IDN CCTLDs associated with the ISO 31661 two-letter code. And the key aspect being a limited number of non-contentious IDN CCTLDs, I think, and also associated with the ISO 3166 code. So that was the first item. Second item that I sort of generalized is the concept whereby that the mechanism that is going to be adopted may not necessarily be applicable to the longer term process, and that speaks to also the whether we think it may be good to have a contract or may be good to have certain requirements and processes for the fast track. This may be acceptable and appropriate for the fast track, but may not be necessary for the longer term solution. So that's the second point, I think. The third one is mainly about the IDN guidelines and that asking a requirement for putting in publishing a table at the IANA repository or adopting one where appropriate, and also policies to reduce the spoofing issues. Mainly, the third point is really mainly the adherence to IDN guidelines, which I seem to be keep repeating myself in many of the questions below. The fourth item is the confusingly similar discussion, thinking that being non-contentious, the strings that are selected should not be confusingly similar to existing TLDs or country and territory names in the ISO 3166 list. So that's number four. Number five, I had basically adopted the sort of the position that the GNSO had sent forward, which had said that we think for the fast track, especially we should have appropriate and balanced participation from across the ICANN community, and that it's not only run only driven by CCNSO or GAC, and because of the whole intent and the nature of the fast track to be somewhat non-contentious. I think the whole concept is that balanced participation from across the community should be maintained. That was number five. And then number six is a recurring item as well from multiple discussions, that there should be a contract either contract or some form of agreement between ICANN and the Fast Track CCTLD manager. And again, to emphasize that to considering the non-contentious nature and also the technical and techno-policy requirements for IDN TLDs. So those were really the six items that I found myself keep repeating in the body.
I have two very quick comments, and one is on four here. Well, I think as it's phrased right now, it doesn't do the job. Must not be confusingly similar to existing TLDs. Well, that's perfectly okay. But, well, by all logic, IBM CCTLD string may very well be, or actually perhaps even should be, confusingly similar or rather identical to a country or territory name. Countries, but
right,
we'll be able to rephrase that in one way or another. Because...
Okay.
Okay.
As I understood, if I was being taught the concept of confusingly similar, if it is the same country, then it's not confusingly, it's only similar. So if it is, you know, given to the same country, then it wouldn't be called confusingly similar. It is similar, and that's the intent. And confusingly similar is only established when somebody else is, you know, some other country or some other... you know, a territory is utilizing that string. But I take your point, so I think, you know, I'll do some edits to make sure that that is not being confused.
Okay,
sorry,
yeah,
sorry,
well, I...
that word again.
But it's succinct enough, all right, if there's a risk of being misinterpreted, perhaps we should be very clear.
No, I think it's a good point, and I don't want it to be so. I think we could, you know, I think we could make sure some edits to make sure it's clear and not confusing for the general reader.
I think in five there is just for clarity's sake. Appropriate and balanced participation from the ICANN community must be maintained. And in what? I would like to say in the policy development work throughout the fast-track process. So add that for clarity's sake.
Okay.
Well, can I ask for a clarification here? Are you speaking for ICANN now, or how does your commentary map into this?
I'm just looking for clarity, because I think that's the intention here, but I may be wrong. So I'm testing for clarity, that's what I'm doing.
I think the input is valuable, and it's coming back to... The suggestion, though, I probably would stay away from the words policy development process here, because that's the long form of PDP.
Perhaps in the policy development or something.
Yeah, I understand the point. I'm just saying that I would avoid using exactly those three words. But I did want to mention that... We other parts of the ICANN community may want to be involved in the evaluation and the objection process specifically for the fast track, I'm testing this concept actually with others as well, whether that is the case, because I think some believe that we may want to be involved in the at least in the objection process in the case where an IDNC CTLD string is proposed and it seems to be conflicting with or confusingly similar to a GTLD. So this is something that I have sort of added in. So it's not only about just the policy development process, but potentially being involved or have some participation in that particular process, or have some way of participating.
I see what you mean.
Right. So I don't know, Carrie or Charles, do you have any thoughts on that particular point?
Not me.
Okay. I guess I need to probably test this further with the council, I hope, and see what the response is there. Looking at it again now, we might want to stay away from evaluation, but leave some room for objection, for example. But I guess I still want to float the idea of whether or not we want to at least say that we want some way to participate in the fast track process at the point of the, if there's an objection process, and to say something about it if, in the case really that somebody proposes an IDNC CTLD where it may be conflicting with a GTLD in some way or form. Okay. Any other comments on the 6 points? Anything that you feel is really not supposed to be there, or should be there, as some setting the general position, I guess, of the and thoughts of the GNSO. Okay. Yes, I'll move on. The whole document of the initial report is mainly separated into two parts. One is the mechanism for selection of the IDNC CTLD string, and the other portion is the mechanism for designation of the IDNC CTLD manager. So, and the first part, I think, is separated further into two or three parts, talking about how the string selection, what are the criteria and what the process is, and similar in the parts for the designation of the IDNC CTLD manager. So, the first part that I included a comment, and that's not really taken from anywhere, but seems to be a recurring discussion throughout the GNSO deliberations, and that is whether it would make things easier if there was if we could identify a list or intrinsically derive a list. What that means is we don't really have a list, but have some parameters that somewhat create a set. And one of the examples that is often given is whether it should be sort of limited to the scripts and languages that are used and included on the country or territory's money, paper money. So I thought it may be good to suggest to include in the document a specific question on this. It seems like this is something people are interested and have opinions on.
Well, once again, we're defining a constraint here that you have to be, the qualified territories have to have their own mints. If we're going to say that the form of a country name or a territory name that appears on a banknote is the only acceptable one. And I'm not, again, I'm not suggesting this, that this is not a fruitful way to proceed, but I'm suggesting that it needs to be described in a manner that doesn't have some 3166 listed territory that does not print its own money, wondering why they're not allowed to participate.
That was my first response to the suggestion as well, and there are definitely CCTLD areas that do not print their own money. But I guess the intent is, I guess I'll probably word the example a little bit better, but the intent is to ask the question whether there should be an attempt to create a more clear boundary for, specifically for the fast track, again, to, you know, to emphasize that we're not trying to say this for the longer PDP, but specifically for the fast track and, you know, whether we should take a look at creating a more tangible sort of boundary.
Well, ultimately, isn't the process of opening a call for expressions of interest in the acquisition of a fast-tracked or slow-tracked or any kind of tracked IDN-TLD the thing that generates the list? And it makes no sense having some sort of a prescriptive list that includes some domain labels, name labels that nobody is going to be interested in. Why don't we see what people are actually looking for and then analyze that list and see if there are any inconsistencies that are going to require further discussion, or if it turns out that everything is, as seems to be one of the preconditions for the fast track, the absolutely crystal clear cases, the situations about which no question can be raised, then the list generates itself.
Well, let me clarify a couple things right now about the initial report and the whole process. Right now, the comment, as you will see, I have a comment on the question, and then sort of what I call GNSO response, I'll probably call that GNSO comment. What the IDNC is asking for is a comment on the questions, whether there are additional questions that should be added. What I've said is basically we will comment both on the question and some comment on what the answers may be. So I guess what my suggestion was on the comment was really on the question, whether we should explicitly ask that question in the initial report and include it as a question, because right now there isn't such a question asked at all. I actually agree with you, Carrie, on sort of the answer part of it, but I think it the suggestion here is really whether the question should be asked at all. And if I see I think for a I guess for a fair public comment, this seems to be a question that a lot of people talk about. We should include it in the public comment list of questions. So that was the reason for bringing it up. Okay. I guess I'll keep moving on and see how we go. The next section was the specific question of is it necessary to limit the number of scripts for which a territory can have an IDN CCTLD under the fast track? If so, what is the limit? This is directly from the initial report. I had a comment on the question and then a suggested comment on the potential answer to the question. The comment on the question was to think about the question, it seems, is very focused on number, and I think it really shouldn't, the question should avoid focusing on sort of like an arbitrary number and leave it a little bit more open so, you know, that it is possible to let the criteria to set the boundaries of Fast Track and perhaps also, have an RFI as, I guess, Carrie suggested. In the response part to the question, I had included two areas that the GNSO has talked about. One is that it should be one IDN CCTLD per entry per script, which makes it that one 3166 entry can have multiple IDN CCTLDs even in the fast track. This is one view at the GNSO. There's also another view in the GNSO, I think a more minority, but I'm not too sure. I'm putting it as a minority view that there are people in the GNSO that feel that the fast track should really be limited to one per CCTLD, and doesn't matter, you know, what, how many number of languages or scripts or official languages they have.
What's the thinking about situations where the constitution of a sovereign nation requires the absolute equitable and equal treatment of a number of official languages in that country, when the fast track invitation goes and says, you guys are welcome to pick one of these languages, but you can only have one, when there is no constitutional basis, there's just no ability to respond to that question and respect the constitution of the country in question.
I completely concur, and as I mentioned, I'm trying to reflect what I believe is a minority view. And the response from the particular person, I don't really want to, you know, put words in his mouth, but generally feeling is to limit it to one per for the fast track, because this is fast track, and if you need more, you would need to go with the longer term PDP. That was the response from the minority view, but.
Yeah, Edmond, if you allow me, I agree with Carbs, with Gary, that this is important not to feel that we are trying to push for only one language in the country or one script in the country where they have more. But at the same time, I agree that we need to make it clear that this is only for the fast track, because we want to make it at the test and to be sure that it's already available and it doesn't jeopardize what we talked about in the beginning, the security, etc., and so on. So I think we need to reply that, yes, for the fast track, we need to have only one, maybe one language, or at least this is the GNSO viewpoint of that, to have only one script in the fast track.
Well, actually, the majority view is that it should be limited to one IDN CCTLD per ISO 3166 entry per script, except in those cases where governmental policies make selecting a single script or language inappropriate. This is what I believe is the majority view, which means that in cases where, like for example, Singapore, where there are four official languages, then they could still participate in the fast track with all four. Well, one is English, but all the other languages or scripts. And in the case of India, for example, where there is multiple languages for a script, they would also be able to participate through the fast track for all the languages that they have official for, and some governmental policies sort of dictate that. There is, as I mentioned, I feel that we need to include the minority view. Again, I believe it's a minority. I still need to test it with the GNSO again. I believe there's a minority view which was mentioned fairly clearly in a number of email exchanges that the fast track should be limited to one per, and you know, regardless of government policies for a particular state.
Edmund, I know what you, I know your point, and I know I read that too. But you know why I said that, because I was linking it somehow to the CCTLD manager. Because if, for example, in Singapore, maybe if they coordinated between themselves and they are happy with it, of course we all be happy. But at the same time, if only one CCTLD manager will run four scripts, for example, I think this will be seen in the future that help maybe to have only one CCTLD manager have all the different scripts, or the official scripts at least.
I agree with Charles here. I mean, this is certainly a reasonable thing for the GMSO to be saying, but I'm not really sure how meaningful saying that is. What happens, for example, in a situation where a country that is simply not prepared to accept any explanation about fast track or need for disregarding its own constitution? What happens when that country, instead of responding to ICANN with a letter of complaint, sends its ambassador to the Department of State in Washington, D.C. to lodge a complaint about ICANN and the entire process? We're assuming that that we have control over an extraordinarily sensitive politically, cultural, linguistic process, and for sure there are very good reasons for us doing what we feel needs to be done to get this show on the road. But yet again, the way we need to word this is going to require ever so much more care and caution than I see in the current documentation.
So, do you think you can perhaps suggest some edits to the part?
Yeah, I can do that, sure. But I'm not sure how far they're going to go. I mean, one of these, by definition, a sovereign state. I mean, everybody is talking about territories very, very cautiously to avoid invoking notions of sovereign right, I suppose would be the way to put it. But ultimately, a government doesn't think that the fast track is being described and run in a manner that is acceptable to them. They can complain in manners that are beyond the NSO's control. And I'm not really sure ICANN would benefit from that, and I'm really not sure that the process would benefit from that. I'm one of the ones who really does want to see IDN TLDs. There are a lot of pitfalls in this thing, and I'm not really sure we recognize all of them, and even the ones that we recognize, I'm not sure we're addressing quite as carefully as we need to.
Well, I didn't
think the control, of course, for sure. I just facilitate, but I agree. Try to draft something, Carrie, and I will support you.
Okay.
Because I understand what you're talking about, too.
Cool. And I was saying, you know, like, I believe everyone on this call is, you know, quite eager to really have IDN TLDs as well.
Well, I mean, I think that's the secret to doing this successfully, is that make it absolutely clear that there is going to be some short-term prioritization here to everybody else's near-term advantage. And there are a number of criteria that are applied to those short-term constraints, and just as long as they can be described in a manner that is reconcilable with everybody's political rights and sensitivities, then we may be able to make this work. But if we're talking about this as though the CCNSO is in control over components of the namespace that GAC reps are likely to regard as their government's sovereign concern, things start sort of falling apart before we even bring this to public attention. And that's, again, what I just really don't want to see happen.
Right.
Edmund, this is Tina. Maybe I can help out a little bit on this one.
Sure.
So, first of all, we have to keep in mind that the IDNC is not a CCNSO working group. It is a cross-community working group with a specific charter to work on a fast track. On this particular piece of the issues paper, though, that was posted for discussion, and in particular discussion in Delhi, this one item about limiting in reference to numbers was discussed probably as a topic that was discussed the most in that workshop on the IDN CCTLD fast track session down there. And I think, you know, obviously reaching an agreement in a session like that in a public forum at an ICANN meeting is not the same as saying this is decided on. But I think it was very clear from everybody participating that this cannot be limited to be one for each existing ISO. So I don't think the CCNSO and the GAC at all are looking at that as an option anymore. The GAC talked about it in their meetings. The CCNSO talked about it in their meetings. And Delhi was a very useful facility for that topic. So,
I completely concur, and I was trying very hard to find any discussion of the GNSO that previously we had that I could quote from, but I couldn't, and that's why I added the comment on the question where I said the question really should avoid the focusing on the arbitrary number and but the criteria for which sets the boundaries, and that's that's sort of where I was, and for the response, it was as we heard actually from the GNSO council meeting as well. There was a bit of discussion on this specific topic. So, when I was compiling the draft, I felt this sort of somewhat reflected the.
I just don't think that minority view is going to be, I don't know. I mean, how do you want to go about this whole report? Do you want to reflect all minority views? Because if you are, then I think you're going to get yourself a lot of work. And probably you're going to have to list a number of other minority views. I don't know. I guess it kind of depends on, in general, how to go about the entire document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually got stuck quite a bit on this particular question when I was trying to answer it with the discussion we had in Delhi. Good point. If I may suggest, I think Carrie, you mentioned you would try to draft something together and see if that works.
Well, what I had specifically in mind was text that addressed explaining the need for prioritization. That all of your languages are going to be accommodated in the manner that you deem necessary, given certain very minimal technical constraints that apply to everything. However, for the purpose of getting this process seeded, there is going to be a quota here, one per territory, to use that term, and it's a sovereign decision which of those goes first. Again, noting that this is a process that is truly rolling. But if we use terms like experimental, that we're going to do the fast track to see if IDN TLDs work at all as related to the 3166 list, then we're saying that just maybe you're going to be picking one of 22 and there's never going to be the other 21. And that's a deal breaker. But if, as Tina says, this has been discussed to the point where the entire notion of quota has been determined to be a no-starter, then no additional text is necessary either. So I unfortunately wasn't able to follow that entire workshop. The web feed was down for the longest time in it, and I only got in time to hear the what seemed to be an extraordinarily interesting and rich discussion conclude. So maybe it would be possible for ICANN to fast-track posting the video archive of that. And then we can proceed on the basis of knowing what has already been said and what might also have been agreed upon, so that we don't end up wordsmithing to gain something that's already been gained.
Okay.
Or wordsmithing against something that's already been clearly established as a reasonable enough stance, or at least a strong enough stance, that there's nothing we can do about it.
It seems like I actually addressed the issue on, you know, commenting on the question, because the biggest problem is the question, and when I tried to answer the question, these issues came out. If I may suggest, perhaps, you know, just to leave the comment on the question in and take out the entire part below, that might allow me not to mention the minority view in, you know, and not to mention some of the things that were said in the council, and focus on saying that we should avoid focusing on an arbitrary number, you know, but the criteria for which, you know, sets the boundaries of this, you know, should set the boundaries of fast track as part of the question.
Well, why don't we simply say, I mean, instead of avoiding an arbitrary number, avoid any aspect of this process that risks being taken as arbitrary.
Avoid any... Okay, I'm just jotting it down. Terry, do you want to actually...
We can do this offline, Edmund. We can take a close look at this, and I can help
with
the wordsmithing.
No. Right, I think that's great, and it really it actually takes away some of the headache that I had when I compiled the.
Yes, but it would be very useful if Tina could be part of this too, because Tina has the benefit of having heard all of the corridor sentiment in this, and I think this is a battle that's being fought on so many fronts that I think we might want to be a little bit picky and choosy and do our own prioritization here. That the things that are just absolute no-starters make no sense trying to start, and situations that we really can influence, where GNSO perspective can be gracefully mapped into CCNSO thinking, that's what we should probably focus on. So I'll gladly provide some wordsmithing input into this, but I really do think we need somebody in that discussion who has a better sense of where all of this is going and how it ought to be led there. Not suggesting that I can tell the GNSO how they're supposed to be providing input into this process, but certainly there's useful guidance to be had by her recollection of things that were not necessarily clearly visible in the public record.
Terry, that is fine, and I on top of that, you know, I'm not usually when I participate in GNSO IDN discussions, I don't participate as ICANN staff or policy staff support. I participate because they ask me for IDN guidance. But I am right now desperately looking online to see if the webcast is posted, and I'll be happy to take whatever draft you do and make any suggestions.
Okay. Well, I think at this point the most useful thing that could possibly be done is, because we know that the recording exists, if we can somehow just get whoever it is that's sitting on it, please depart this particular one, if not in public view, at least somewhere online where the participants in the present call might get a sneak preview of it, at it. I mean, if it needs to be edited or in some way cleaned up, I'm sure our sensibilities won't be grossly offended.
Right, and we don't edit stuff like that, so...
Okay.
Figure that out and get back to you.
Yeah. Does that sound reasonable, Edmund? That we approach this with some degree of... pragmatism.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good. We are we're now at about an hour 10 minutes. I actually can go for the whole 2 hours. I don't know how the time for everyone else works. So we can go for about 45 more minutes, or is that workable for most people, like everyone?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, cool. So I guess we'll keep going.
Edmund, I have to leave. I have to leave in 3 minutes. So I will just log out in 3 minutes without disturbing you again.
Thanks. Okay. In that case, it's really just myself and Carrie, you talking. My suggestion in that case would really then to try to take this offline, and perhaps Carrie, you can have a longer look at through the now you
That's
have
what I was thinking,
right?
Okay. So why don't we do it this way? Let me take a very close look at this text. Let's see if Tina can somehow effectuate the accessibility to the full workshop record, and then we can talk a little bit more. I mean, I'm not registering the slightest. Well, I suppose I am. I'm far less interested in what the GNSO decides needs to be commented on as I am in the way it is stated.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think I very much agree with you. I guess in that case, what I would suggest is now that you have a document, probably not just that particular section that we discussed, but also other sections of it, and provide your comments through the mailing list, or directly, or however. And we'll try to set up another call and try to convene early next week to go over it once everyone had a chance to send in some comments.
Sure.
Cool. I will make some overall adjustments to some of the languages, given some of the feedback that I've gotten, especially on the technical experience and whether a CCTLD needs to, an IDN CCTLD manager from Fast Track should have experience running a TLD. I will make some edits there as well and send to back to the list as well. Okay. Anything else?
No, just so you know, I travel all day tomorrow, but other than that, I'm around, so.
Okay. I guess I'll try to see if we can convene again on either Monday or Tuesday next week. We do have a council meeting on the 28th. The supposed deadline for response to this IDNC initial report was February 26th. Sort of asked for an informal extension for 1 week, so we could have a council meeting to have some discussion about this before. And I'd like to convene again next Monday or Tuesday to go over it, so we can send something to the GNSO council, so we can talk about it and see if we can submit the response by. I think it was the 3rd or 4th of March. So that's the plan.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.